In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we heard this important parable from St. Matthew's Gospel reading, and I want to make sure, before we talk about applying it, that we understand what the parable is saying and how we fit into this parable. So this king who settles the accounts, of course, is God, the judge of each of us. And we are that first servant. Each and every one of us in this story should see ourselves as this first servant who comes before the king, and despite owing him a debt because of our sins, because of the many times that we have fallen short of living up to his will, nevertheless, he forgives us. He erases it completely. We see that he had the right. He had the ability. I spoke about it recently with the king, how they owned everything. He had the ability to make us work it off, to pay it off, to enslave our family in order that our debt would be paid, but he has forgiven it all freely of his own goodwill. And then, of course, we hear the second half of that parable, and again, it's showing the silliness of us then who have been forgiven this great debt to go out and to then not forgive others the debts that they owe us, to not forgive others when they have sinned against us. Because think about how silly it is for us to be here today and to proclaim that our sins have been forgiven, all of them freely by God, and for us to then go out and hold the sins of others against them. You see, this teaching is at the heart of the gospel. In fact, it's part of our Lord's Prayer. It's sort of a iffy translation. You know, we tend to use things that come from the King James Version. It's been sort of the standard in America. Our liturgical text even. You know, we hear, "Our Father who art in heaven," the Lord's Prayer. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." But if we look at the Greek, the more literal reading would be, "as we also have forgiven those who've trespassed against us." In other words, don't come to God and ask forgiveness of him if you're not going to forgive someone who sinned against you. Don't come to God and ask him to do something that you're not willing to do to someone else. Don't come to God and ask him to forgive you if you're not going to forgive your spouse, if you're not going to forgive your neighbor, if you're not going to forgive your classmate who sinned against you. Because God doesn't have time for us to behave this way. And it's a big problem that we see in Christianity today, in my opinion. Orthodoxy and broader Christianity as a whole. We love to proclaim God's forgiveness for us. We love to proclaim God's forgiveness for people who are in our group. The others, you know, not so much. But you see that God teaches us today in the parable, he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, that the essence of us, the essence of forgiveness, is that we have to spread the forgiveness. If we want his mercy, we have to spread mercy ourselves. If we want kindness from God, we have to spread his kindness to others. If we want his forgiveness, we have to spread his forgiveness to others. And brothers and sisters, this is an important lesson for us, because we often, today as Christians, we think about our faith as how often we come to church. How well do we fast? Do we live a moral life? And don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to stop coming to church, to stop living a moral life. I'm not telling you to stop fasting. None of those things. But in the midst of that, don't forget this important teaching. Don't forget the essence of our faith. Don't forget that if you want God to forgive you on the day of judgment, you have to forgive the sins of others. Because we can do all of these other things. We can come here every Sunday, every time the church is open. We can fast better than Satan, who doesn't even eat, as the fathers tell us. We can live the most moral lifestyle by the standards of the world, and if we do not forgive the sins of our neighbor, then God does not forgive us. And we find this teaching again and again and again by Jesus throughout the New Testament. So as we begin this new church year, which for those who don't know began on September 1, let us make as our ecclesiastical New Year commitment the commitment to forgive others when they sin against us. There are some sins, brothers and sisters, that are so great we'll never forget. I've talked about this before, but I'll remind you again. God does not tell us that we have to forget what somebody did, but we forgive them. We no longer harbor hard feelings against them. We no longer wish evil upon them. We no longer let them control our lives, because ultimately when we do not forgive someone, we are letting them control us. You know, my father confessor once told me, when I told him that I struggle sometimes with the sin of anger, being angry at other people, he told me, don't punish yourself for other people's sins. Because when we're angry, and we're not forgiving, that's why we're angry with other people, we're punishing ourselves spiritually. We heard that today. We hear it time and again in the gospel, that we're hurting ourselves spiritually. But now we even know physically that when we have anger, that it can lead to heart problems. It can lead to physical problems. It can lead to us having mental problems. It's not healthy for us, even physically, let alone spiritually. So don't let other people, we don't let other people control our lives. We don't let other people's sins, by holding it against them, control how we view our life. We forgive them. We realize that people, no matter how great their sins might have been, we realize that people make mistakes, just like we have made mistakes. And instead of praying for their downfall or hoping for their downfall or wishing ill upon them, we should be praying for them that they would repent. Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, if God can forgive us, we must confess that God can forgive anyone. And that should be our hope for them. To this merciful and loving and forgiving God be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.